Saludos nuestra gente and welcome to our 21st episode of The Latina Theory, a Spanglish podcast sin vergüenzas. I'm your host, Ariana Henis, along with my co-host,
Maria Isa.
And we are two proud Minnesotanas, a Chicana and a Boricua, proud of where we come from and where we are now. We are here to create dialogue focused on Latina opinions regarding current events, health, politics, race, edutainment,
and a music playlist asazonado with Latino contemporary, Latino alternative, soul, hip-hop, reggae, reggaeton, cumbia, R&B, salsa, ritmos afro-latinos, y más.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
And what's good, mi gente?
We're back.
Yeah, we are back. We ain't left, we just been all over the place, okay? So we appreciate your patience with us, mujeres. Working constantly, and
you know, and our fans know the grind out here. They know what's going on, and we've also been hearing from so many of you that we need to get back on our game. So we're here, we're present, and we're gonna stay here.
Yeah, we're just building, you know, more platforms, and with building platforms, there's a lot of cleaning to do too. So just we appreciate you guys' support and encouragement. Estamos aquí. Shout out to Audio Boom.
Yes. We're so happy to be on that platform.
Boom, 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 boom. Let's recap, girl. We've been a minute, but you just heard a song, La Tirana.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that song.
By Bia. Bia's she's a phenomenal, you know, mujer in the game, Latinx representation in hip-hop. And trap music, so I
hell yeah,
I love it. You know what I'm saying? All the hermanas out there doing our thing.
Claro que sí.
But girl, you're running a campaign.
I am running a campaign, y'all, and I want to own that. Yeah. So my partner is Jeremiah Ellison, and he's running for city council in Minneapolis in Ward 5, which is North Minneapolis. Mm. And it's been, you know, he just won the DFL endorsement, which is huge against an incumbent. And we have a big team of folks. The majority of them actually live on the north side. The majority of us are folks of color. And that is how we are choosing to run the campaign, investing in new leaders. And we were told by many not to do it that way. Mm-hmm. And we didn't listen and we did it this way. We've been organizing and we've been doing well. We got the endorsement and now we have to keep going until November.
I think that's important, you know, that you guys recognize, like, we're doing it our way.
Yes.
And we specifically have been recognizing that there is a change that's needed. And it's not going to come anywhere else but our communities and established within the people in our communities.
Claro que sí.
So, girl, we see you. We support it. Yes. Check out more information about those in our community that are running. And, you know, we endorse our bro. Yeah. Latina Theory.
I'm really glad that you got the Latina Theory endorsement. If you want to learn more about Jeremiah Ellison, you know, he's a lifetime Northsider, an artist, a collaborator, and someone that's really interested in fighting back against gentrification and creating development that's rooted in Northsiders, and a $15 minimum wage and an economy that works for people, go to his website. It's Jeremiah4Ward5, all spelled out, acceptnumber5.com. So Jeremiah4Ward5.com. In Minnesota and Minneapolis, we have the mayor's races up, city council's up, and in St. Paul, the mayor's races up as well.
Yeah. So definitely check that out.
There's a lot of movement happening. Folks can easily plug in if you live in the Twin Cities.
Hey, Mujer, speaking about movimiento and movement, let's talk about this, specifically this local legislative session that's happening here in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
11 bills, major budget bills that need to be passed.
Yes.
We're living in a Republican-controlled House and Senate.
Yep.
So the things to keep our eye on definitely are the public safety bill,
yep,
anti-immigrant language, and preemption bill.
Yep.
Talk to us a little bit about what's going on specifically. There's been a lot of people that are not leaving and are moving for our gente day and night, specifically at the Capitol.
Yes.
Taking over that governor's office.
Yep. They've been present.
Talk to me a little bit about the recap that's been happening, because I know you've been heavily involved.
Yeah. So one thing that I think I'm excited to do with Latina Theory is to cover legislative session in a deeper way so that folks know. Because let me tell y'all, this is my second round of working at it, and I still am confused, I would say, 75% of the time, if I'm being real. Because I would argue that it's intentionally set up to not be very inclusive. It's not very intuitive. It's very layered, a lot of jargon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what you've highlighted is good, right? They have to pass 11 bills. We have a Republican House and Senate, but we do have a Democratic governor. Mm-hmm. And so that means that he has the power to veto bills that he feels are not acceptable and to ask that the House and Senate go back to the negotiating table. Mm-hmm. So just like understanding that dynamic for all of us, like that's what's happening in session. And these bills fund our budgets for the, like our health system,
right?
Millions of dollars. And so, again, we'll keep working on learning what it is and what it looks like as I learn more about it, y'all, if I'm being honest. But so the public safety bill, to really highlight that bill, there is a need for Minnesota to pass an updated ID so that we have federal standards so we can travel. But what the Republicans did is that they literally they went out of their way to force anti-immigrant language into that bill.
Yep.
So that our familia, our brothers and sisters, my tios, tias, mm-hmm. who are undocumented, are unable to ever access a license.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what we are asking Governor Dayton to veto specifically, because we don't want that bill to pass, because that would have it would be really hard. We'd have to wait a long time before being able to change that.
And yeah, I think the issue specifically mm-hmm. is, you know, coming from the fact that it is a Republican-controlled House and Senate.
Yeah.
And these are bills that have been administered by the Republican Party and the GOP Party. So it's to recognize this is a process, but us as gente in our community, if we don't show up, it's easier for them to outrule our say and our capability of being able to get those licenses.
Yep, absolutely. And I think something you're highlighting too, Maria, is that like, even if you're not at the Capitol lobbying formally,
right.
which we need our people doing that too, let
right.
us be clear, like learn a little bit more about the process and show up and protest, make your voice heard, have some strategy behind it, and it'll make a difference. Because trust me, everyone knows that that public safety bill includes anti-immigrant language. Now.
Completely.
It is not a thing that they were, you know, trying to pass it kind of quietly. No, it has now become an issue. And the last thing I just want to highlight is preemption. A lot of people don't know what that means. What preemption would do is that it would make it impossible for cities to be able to pass their own workplace standards, like $15 an hour, which is just passing
in Minneapolis,
like paid sick time. And what I really want to highlight is that this is a national strategy by the alt-right happening all across the country. They're trying to attack local democracy, like our ability to pass things at a local level, which is technically almost like the last line of defense that we have. Right? So like us getting involved in city council and getting our people elected, they're trying to weaken that. And so just, you know, at, you know, call Governor Dayton, ask him to veto the public safety bill, ask him to veto preemption, and just stay tuned. If it's confusing, ask questions. Don't worry about it because everybody's confused. Mm-hmm. That's my piece on that. Now, Maria, what have you been up to?
Man, so this past week, I spoke as a panelist for the Hispanic Midwest Marketing Conference. Mm-hmm. The panel that I was on was in regards to Latina millennials and our work through marketing, where we are at in now and what the future is looking at.
Yeah.
And working with licensing music, and distributing music as well as in the arts, that marketing is the opportunities have boomed,
yeah.
But yet we have to make sure we're looking out for our communities, even though they're looking for Latin music or bilingual marketing, we have to really make sure that it's actually helping our communities, mm-hmm. instead of just getting more consumers, mm-hmm. But that it's building our communities as well and building jobs for our communities.
That the marketing process itself actually...
Yes, whether it's corporate or independently owned businesses. And it was really amazing to be on that panel amongst other Latinas, that whether they do work in marketing or they're just the consumers of it. You know, I was there with Abigail, who works with community outreach, first generation, you mm-hmm. know, Latina, Mexicana, mm-hmm. from the neighborhood house.
Yeah.
And we talked about being on the west side and how much it's grown, where now we see things bilingually. And another sister who's there, Carissa, who just graduated from Metro State in civic engagement, mm-hmm. and recognizing where we are legally here. And as women who we know, we are the minority.
Yeah.
Specifically women of color. Mm-hmm. So, but we're also the highest consumers. We are the ones that are shopping. We're the ones that are the mothers. We're mm-hmm. the ones that are infrastructuring campaigns. So
right.
All of this was a part of that dialogue, mm-hmm. as well as reflecting on where we've came from within the women in our family, mm. and how that is our motivation and what fuels us to make sure that these CEOs that are majority all white men are recognizing that in 30 years, the CEOs are going to be Latino women.
Yeah, they're going to look like who they think they're just going to profit off of.
Right. So it was really a great conference that I enjoyed, in different backgrounds of Latinos and different representations of from political platforms as well, which added more to the conversation as well. So it was kind of cool. It served as a debate at the same time as reality and being wake up. So that was a little bit about what we...
You were also a speaker at a graduate, like a commencement speaker or what? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I was honored to be the commencement speaker for the University of Minnesota's Chicano Latino Studies Department commencement. So I was able to meet all the 20 graduates mm-hmm. from the Chicano Latino Studies program, and I mean, it ranged from everything to anthropology to social justice work to it goes into English and creative writing. I mean, we could just go in. The beauty of it was that there was a mix of us, and that we were presente. So my speech was actually called presente, and I felt very, very great to be there, because as we flash into Latino history with the Chicano Latino Studies program, we think about those who were striking to make sure that those doors are open. Like, people are like, oh, there's only 20. And I'm like, 20 for us is a lot. When you come from a background where there isn't any graduates or college attending.
Yeah, where most of your, like you've had to wait like 5 generations for one of you to graduate.
Or
right?
you're first generation mm-hmm. in this country.
Exactly.
Or second and third. And that was a discussion of like, even if, you know, I'm second generation here, it's still us trying to be in those spaces mm-hmm. and come out on top in those spaces amongst a wave of the privilege. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's why we let them know we're presente every time we're here, whether we're loud or we're quiet through our expressions of trying to figure out where we are at. But those walls do speak. So when we flash back, we think about, you know, the leadership of Ramona Rosales, who is, you know, should be highlighted as our guerrera every week if we're in the Twin Cities, definitely. Because in the 70s, Chicano students in Minnesota organized a week-long summer institute to explore and establish a Chicano Latino Studies department in the Midwest. So there was participants from a conference that came in from Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, mm-hmm. Nebraska, Illinois, Kansas, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, with 180 attendants. And that included migrant field workers from Texas. Mm-hmm. And they made an unanimous decision that the new unit should study Mexicans and Latinos and their struggle to settle here in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So under the pressure from the Latin Liberation Front, which is a student-led group of the Chicana and Chicano students from the colleges here in the Twin Cities and Latinos, they began to address financial aid and employment for students and recruitment. So they encouraged the creation of this department at the U of M, and they actually was just dissatisfied with how the pace was going at the U. Mm-hmm. And you got to think, this is the 70s, 1970. They started this in the 70s, and then finally they're just fed up with mm-hmm. no response. So 20 of those Chicano Latino students occupied the Twin Cities Administration building at Morrill Hall on October 26, 1971. And out of that, now we have, you know, us here. Mm-hmm. Even if we didn't go to the U of M, you know, their services made sure that I can study for ACTs and, the SATs growing up when mm-hmm. I was in high school. That was unheard of. Mm-hmm. But they made sure that we had buses to get us there, whether we were going to college here at the U or to Augsburg.
Just highlighting that ripple effect of this work, yes. of the people who've yes. been here, who've been doing this work.
Tremendous. So, you know, the first president of that was Ramona Rosales. And she's kind of like, she's like my Chicana, you know, madrina in mm-hmm. the hood. And one of my mom's very first friends here. So it was meaningful to discuss that and highlight that at the speech. We're kind of giving you a lot of information and coming back. We appreciate you tuning in, but this Absolutely. Is valid to talk about, because here you got our flashback in Latino history, you're recapping what we've been doing, and then you go into our guerreras of the week. A big part of that movement was Nicholas Castillo as well, mm-hmm. who just recently passed, Nick Castillo Jr., who was one of the students, and his mother made sure that she was a part of and her name is Doña Tomasa Castillo, who we're highlighting as one of our guerreras this week amongst the Latinx graduates from all over.
Everyone. That's what we wanted to help. Like, everyone who's graduated, we are so proud of you. We know how much, like, sweat, tears, hours of study, hours of not sleep, working full time, if you didn't, if you were a mom, if you weren't, if you care for your parents, if you're undocumented, all these different situations that have been put up in many ways against us, crazy. And yet you graduated.
Yeah.
Guerreras.
Presente. So big moves to all those women like Ramona Rosales.
Claro que sí.
And Doña Tomasa Castillo, who is 98 years old, and she's the queen of the West Side. She was recognized at the Cinco de Mayo parade as a grand marshal this year, but we recognize her every day. So check out on CBS Local Minnesota, they did an interview on Doña Castillo, who a week after her son passed away from battling cancer, mm-hmm. She was unsure of being the grand marshal, but she said, you know what, he was proud that I received this recognition. And she went out in that float, belleza como siempre, waving her
Doing
pride
her
for Latinos here.
Yes.
She opened up La Clinica. We wouldn't have services for our gente here if it wasn't for women like her. So saludos a la China, a Doña Tomasa Castillo, and the whole Castillo family on the West Side. We're going into our next song, flashing back into history. Girl, this is a flashback for real.
Go for it.
DLG with La Quiero Morir.
Hasta ayer solo fui un orgastán y hoy soy guardián de sus sueños de amor. La quiero a morir. destrozar todo aquello que ve, porque ella de un soplo lo vuelve a crear. Como si nada, como si nada, la quiero a morir. Ella para
quinceañeras,
like,
and
so many. That's all I could think about in the meals. Like, what was I eating? I had arroz and este guiso, like memories.
That was the song, yo. I love DLG. Everybody loved them, Dominican, Puerto Rican boys.
Oh, they were great.
They started that whole BMI Latino movement. They're basically why I'm with BMI as an artist.
There you
shout
go,
out
there
to
you
the
go.
OG. We are going into
politics, man, y opinión de la gente.
Can't even talk. I was just going in. We're going into politics and opinión de la gente.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, we're getting into May 30th, the trial for the Philando Castile case begins.
And so just a little context for folks that may not know who Philando Castile is or what happened. He is a black man who was shot and killed in July of 2016 by a police officer, Jerónimo Yáñez, who shot him during a traffic stop and had no reason to shoot him. Philando was not doing anything. Yáñez had been charged, has been charged with manslaughter. Reporters from NPR News are following the case, and that's where, you know, we're highlighting. And they're doing it with a specific podcast.
Yes.
Maria, can you tell us a little bit about this podcast?
Really interesting. I've heard the first three episodes. I'll probably catch up with the fourth one that's out right now this weekend. But it's a podcast called 74 Seconds. The reason why it's called 74 Seconds, because that is the amount of time that elapsed between the moment that Yáñez turned his squad car lights to the moment he fired the seventh and final shot into Castillo's car. And girl, I've been listening to it, and let me tell you, I cry.
Yeah.
I cry. I listen to it while I'm driving.
Mm-hmm.
And just... because that's the only time I have time to listen to things. And while I'm driving, and I just think about, like, man, on the same street that, you know, off the street that I live off of, this is what happened. And you think about that feeling that you get when you do get pulled over.
Yeah.
And all the back stuff that's happening, like, behind the scenes that we don't know. And audio files that, I mean, we've seen this happen. That's why it's so insane.
We've seen what happened.
Live. The whole world was watching.
Yes, what happened to Philando.
Because it was filmed. So they focus on the first episode on Philando and who Philando was. Is a wonderful young man, mm-hmm. Who's from our city. He's the son of St. Paul, you know what I'm saying? By way of St. Louis. And he worked... and he didn't have any biological children, but he had a stepdaughter who was in that vehicle.
Yes.
And he also had a lot of children through the city of St. Paul, through the St. Paul Public School District, that he gave nutrition to as a nutrition director for St. Paul Public Schools for 10 years.
That's ridiculous.
So you hear about that man and his voice as you get all these audio files for those who didn't know who Phil was. Mm-hmm. And then the second episode is based on the officer.
Yeah.
And you hear some of the experiences that other people have gone through as well.
With this officer.
With this officer. Mm-hmm. And you see his record and that of how many tickets and stopped. And do you know that his first arrest that he made as a St. Anthony officer was less than a year before he killed Philando, or a year before he killed Philando Castile. And the first man that he arrested was a black man named Philando Castile. So he arrested Philando Castile. It was his first arrest as an officer.
What?
I would have never known this other than through listening to 74 Seconds.
And I know that there was, like, data that came out, too, of, like, the ridiculous amount of times that Philando was stopped.
Philando was stopped once every 4 months since he was an adult.
It's ridiculous.
That's how many times you stop.
It is horrifying. And then what happens? And I just want to touch on this, and I'm going to let you keep explaining the podcast, Mujer.
Just listen to it. It's hard to even explain it. Yeah. I'm getting very emotional, and my heart goes out to us and our families, and to the family of Philando Castile and to Diamond. And thank you for being strong. We highlighted you a year ago.
Yes,
when this
we did.
Happened because
yes, we did.
You documented it, and the training process for officers is also what's being checked in through this podcast. And
mm-hmm.
The people that are highlighting it, I want to say it's their names. I'm trying to look for their names here. The two journalists that are highlighting the...
Oh, they're taking charge of this?
Yeah. I'm not seeing it here. However, tune into it. We can go in depth in an own episode about this, but we will be, you know, updating people in regards to what's happening here in our city. But our city needs to be strong. The family isn't talking as the trial is about to begin.
Yeah.
But we need to be strong. We need to stand. We need to unify and ensure that tragedies like this don't happen. Phil is a good guy, and I hope that everything goes to put peace, at least
for this family
and this community.
And the conversation and the struggle goes on with state-sanctioned violence, which is what we call what's going on with the police.
Yeah. If you're going to be a police officer, be an officer of the peace. I'm not saying this is, but be an officer for the peace and make sure that those officers are from this community, that know this community, and that don't fear humanity. And if they do have aggression issues, if they do have psychological and mental issues that are happening,
they
that
definitely they should be on the floor. Officer. That's a problem. Absolutely. And
so with that, though, check out 74 Seconds. Shout out to NPR for keeping us posted. And they will be following the whole trial. Each episode's about 30 minutes long.
Thank you so much, Mujer, for making sure that we talked about that this episode.
Indeed.
Whew.
Yeah. It takes a lot. I mean, I literally cry when I hear it.
No, just, absolutely.
You know, it is what it is. On a brighter note, because I know something that we do as our gente is that we celebrate life.
We do.
And
Despite anything,
you know, mm-hmm. step by step. So we want to celebrate life. And with that, we're going to go into
Despacito.
The next song with Despacito, and then talk a little bit about it afterwards. But yeah, rest in peace. Philando Castile. Say their names.
Ay.
Fonzi! Diwa!
Sabes que ya llevo un rato mirándote. Tengo que bailar contigo hoy.
Vi que tu mirada ya estaba llamándome. Muéstrame el camino que yo voy.
Oh, tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. Me voy acercando y voy armando el plan. Solo con pensarlo se acelera el pulso.
Oh yeah, ya me está gustando más de lo normal. Todo mi sentido va pidiendo más. Esto hay que tomarlo sin ningún apuro.
Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto y hacer de tu cuerpo todo un manuscrito.
Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito, nos vamos pegando poquito a poquito. Y es que esa belleza es un rompecabezas, pero pa' montarlo aquí tengo la pieza.
Oye, despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero desnudarte a besos despacito. Firma las paredes de tu laberinto.
hacerlo en una playa en Puerto Rico. Hasta que las olas griten, ay bendito, para que mi sello se quede contigo.
Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito, lo vamos pegando, poquito a poquito. Sabes a mi boca,
tus lugares favoritos.
Favorito, favorito. Pasito a pasito, suave, suavecito, lo vamos pegando, poquito a poquito.
That was Despacito with not Justin Bieber.
No, exactly. Whose song is that, Maria? I want that to be clear. Who is in Despacito, Maria Isa?
That song is by Luis Fonsi featuring the first featuring with Daddy Yankee. Okay. Okay. The Boricuas. All right, puro. Okay. Pa' que lo sepa, that was not whose song?
Justin Bieber.
Yeah, it wasn't the Biebs song. It wasn't the Biebs song. Specifically, everybody thinks that that's Justin Bieber's song, unless you are, you know, Latino and been bumping it before the Biebs came on it.
Exactly.
And he forgot the lyrics.
Can you tell me exactly what happened? Because I just like heard it buzzing around and then I didn't. Also, y'all should know here at Latina Theory, we love some Despacito.
Yeah, it's the new played out song. Yeah. It made it, baby. When you got a Latino song that played out, everybody knows Elvis Crespo, Suavemente,
there we go, it's one of those now.
it made it and we'll be listening it forever, okay? So just love it and we'll be abuelitas dancing to that, you know?
Exactly.
But yeah, so the news broke out that Justin Bieber sang the song,
mm-hmm.
hopping on Luis Fonsi's track and Daddy Yankee's banger. So the whole thing was that it already had been topping charts.
Yeah.
In 13 different countries with almost a billion views on YouTube. A billion views, okay?
Did y'all hear that?
And
without the Bieber.
1 billion views. So it's basically, it is the front runner for Song of the Summer, right? And it was when J Balvin released Sorry, the Latino remix for Sorry, that Bieber, I basically had said, you know, phrases in Spanish in a Mexican press conference, mm-hmm. or whatever. So I think that just kind of highlighted and say, oh man, cool, I'm gonna get on this track and do my own remix with it.
Mm-hmm.
So he did it, and Luis Fonsi's like, great, thanks for doing that. I'm getting views, amazing. I got another fan base. Exactly. That's what music's about, right?
Yep, that's cool.
International language is music. But it's also props, and give and make sure you get props. But the brother man's getting all this play, thinking that it's his song, and he went to New York and did a concert, and went to do that song specifically, and then just stopped, like... He like was unsuccessful.
Like he didn't know the lyrics.
Like he forgot the lyrics, and then he says, like he basically was like just saying Dorito, like Despacito, like it sounded like Dorito and Dorito and.
Man, yeah. This is my thing. I'm like, get your shit together. It's like two lines. How are you not gonna know?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know the words. He literally said that, and I'm impressed. That, you know, I'm a lyricist. I'm a musician.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
I sometimes forget words,
mm-hmm.
Of my music at times that I'll slip into it and I'll get back to it. But this brother, like, if I'm going to be singing a song in Italian or a song in, you know, Swahili, I better not F that up. You know what I'm saying?
And he did. So he did. The point of this is that Despacito is by Luis Fonsi, everybody. Yeah. Okay?
Straight up. So get in the mix with that. It's by Luis Fonsi.
All right.
Oh my goodness, girl. Insanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can we get our credit? So speaking about our art.
Uh-huh. So, oh yeah, speaking about art, girl.
And representation of cultural arts.
Mm-hmm.
And
then white people wilding out.
Tripping. No. Like, recognize. They.
Okay. So we're getting into the next segment, y'all. We're in the Pendejo de la Semana.
Right.
And this, the award goes, like, we're going to have a big gold award of pendejes too.
This guy's named Sam Durant. And he did the scaffold sculpture at the Walker Art Center. And for those of you who've been on social media,
locally
and inaugural nationally, I mean,
oh, this, yeah, everyone's talking about it. You're right about that.
You have the highest institution of art in the state of Minnesota, but for me, like, and other artists of color, we walk in there like, this doesn't represent us.
Absolutely.
We have been here performing for 10 years and we still have to be recognized, and we're not invited here unless you need something from us. Mm-hmm. And most of the time you don't ask us. And that's what just happened. This guy who's from California, non-native, he created a scaffold sculpture based off the scaffold that was the last platform where 38 Dakota men took their last breath as they were lynched in the largest lynching massacre that was aided by President Abe Lincoln in Mankato, Minnesota.
Exactly.
And this is a story that is a part of our history in Minnesota. This is Dakota land.
Mm-hmm.
For a white man to go ahead and create a piece, and then the highest claimed institution of art in the state with the most funding for arts,
that's about to debut this huge new sculpture garden,
has a display of this, like, we're supposed to be cool with this? Exactly. And this is a piece of artwork? This is a reflection of our nightmare.
Of genocide.
And they didn't even think to talk or get... I'm thinking, like, what was your selection process? And it's not even, like... the first thing I seen it, I knew exactly what it was without having to read the headline on my homegirl's Facebook post. The thing was like, whoa, my heart stopped. I knew exactly what it reflected. Then I said, it can't be this. It exactly was. They didn't console. It's not hard to find Native people and Native artists on Native land, first of all, Walker. You should be ashamed, even more for your response. Their immediate response was not an apology.
No.
It was more a description of why
they picked it. And what it was supposed to represent in terms of, like, massacre and death penalty, basically all catered towards the emotions, feelings, and understandings of white people and not the people's history that it was eliciting. Completely inappropriate. And what we've seen here is that leaders in the Native community came out super strong social media campaign, called the Walker. Like, Maria and I were tweeting, posting about it, doing whatever we could to call this bullshit out. Because it is ridiculous for you to use pain and trauma and genocide for display so that white people can wrestle with it. Like, that is not okay.
Girl,
not to that degree.
What the fuck were they thinking?
No,
like,
to any degree.
Like, what the... Like, you know, they weren't, because they're privileged. They're privileged not to think. As an artist, we don't have that. As a person of color, we don't have that. We have to overthink when we're applying for these grants or opportunities to be in these spaces that don't invite us.
Mm-hmm.
They only invite us when they need us to be a part of a cultural committee. They only invite us when they need us as an advisory, but they don't staff us or they don't pay us the same way that they do for these artists. Think about how much money that guy got paid, how much money it cost to bring that scaffolding and built it here.
Which toured all over Europe. To be clear, like, that work...
Se me pararon los pelos.
Yeah, like, has already been touring.
Se me pararon los pelos. Just, like, what about... I think about the sculpture park garden. I have my quinceañera pictures there, like, after
we all have memories of that
sculpture. With the spoon and the cherry. It's like it's a postcard. It's a landmark here in the Minnesota. So, and they built this right in front of that. And I think, like, what are we supposed to do? Have a picnic with our kids and run around while people are taking pictures on this scaffolding that reflects the nightmares of our natives of this land and their descendants who are artists and phenomenal artists. We're right now recording in a Latino all indigenous art gallery
exactly
now, with phenomenal indigenous art surrounding us right now, and our tears are what create this artwork to keep us moving. We don't want to be reflected. We want you guys to actually have us there to create and show you what you've done to us.
Absolutely.
Let us create that art.
Absolutely.
But we don't create shit like that.
It's ridiculous. So we just want to name that, like, people have been organizing, have been putting posters up, putting signs up. This is not your story to tell. Take it down. And because of that public pressure and because of that leadership of the Native community in Minnesota, we're happy to say that as we've been recording the podcast, news broke that Olga Visa, who runs the Walker Art Center, has committed to take down the scaffold. So it will not be part of the sculpture garden, and the artist agreed to it.
It's not a thank you. Thanks for finally recognizing. No, you better get your act together.
Please. And I want to thank the people who made sure to call out that bullshit.
Shout out to Sasha and Susanache and Ashley Fairbanks and all the Native artists and community of Minneapolis.
The elders.
That came out to speak, specifically the Dakota Elders Council, who had a peaceful message. You said, don't do anything violent. Don't show up with, alcohol, drugs. Mm-hmm. Don't show up with an abusive behavior because we're peaceful people. They are the ones that are not peaceful. Mm-hmm. And they uplifted hate with that.
Exactly.
So.
And with that, we want to say thank you for that leadership. And Walker, get your shit together.
Straight up.
All right. So I'm so excited for this next song we're about to play because I need to clean myself from that in the hiss, girl. I need to clean myself on that note of cleaning.
Limpiate, por favor.
So up next. All right, so up next we have Sabrina Claudio with Confidently Lost.
Yo, they were for real lost. My bad, here we go.
Trying to get to know me. I'm just an outline of what I used to be. Constantly evolving, steadily revolving. Imagination, water my creation.
now we get into our Doctora Curandera, where we focus on abuela remedies.
Yes, we do.
And things we can pick up easily at home if we don't have the time or maybe the budget to go.
I was going
to
say, like, easy and affordable, girl.
Easy, you know, affordable. Go down to your bodega and go grab all of this, okay? And if you can't, you need a better bodega.
All right, so tell us, how are we gonna, we need some beauty tips.
All right, so girl, beauty remedies that actually work. One, mayonesa.
What?
It's a deep conditioner for healthy hair. So according to hairstylist Nathaniel Hawkins, this is an old school method that works because of the fat and protein ratio. Mm-hmm. So if you don't use mayonesa on your sandwiches, you definitely can put it in your hair. The oil softens the hair, killing or making it shinier, and the protein in the eggs will make your strands stronger. So it's recommended that you apply treatment to dry hair, leave it on like a mask for 15 to 20 minutes, shampoo twice, and condition afterwards. This treatment works best for hair that isn't fine or limp. So if you got hair like mine, it definitely works. It's called like the blend of the raices. Next we have,
so next is dabbing nails in olive oil for a healthier look. That's a trick I feel like our abuelitas taught all of us.
Straight up.
Nail expert Stephanie Stone debunked the myth that rubbing garlic on nails will make them strong. According to studies, it has no benefit, but I don't know if I can fully trust that, you know. Mm. But she says applying olive oil on nails and cuticles throughout the day is a great way to improve their health. So
we know avocados are healthy for cuticles. We do know that honey is good for hair conditioner as well.
Yeah.
And obviously, coconut oil is a body moisturizer. But this one threw me off, okay?
All right.
Washing hair with Coca-Cola for shine.
What?
Yeah. Longtime favorite technique among Latino families. But celebrities like Suki Waterhouse and hairstylist Nunzio Saviano gives a traditional trick. The thumbs up. The acid closest to the hair cuticle will make it look healthier and shinier. So you gotta be careful though, okay? Because the sugar can leave your hair sticky, so you might need to rinse it out quickly. And also, apple cider vinegar is an alternative that might not be as messy. But Coca-Cola, I don't really drink soda, but I might have to get me some of the Mexican bottled Coca-Cola, if I am going to drink a Coca-Cola, that's where I'm going, because it's natural.
Girl, you know.
Ganya,
you know.
Sugarcane, and wash my hair up.
There you go.
I'm going to try it out. I'll let y'all know how it goes.
I'm excited to ask.
Next.
All right. It's what events are happening in the coming weeks, girl.
Goodness. We got these current events. Well, tomorrow we'll be at Soundset.
Yes.
So we'll give you a recap on our experience next session.
Yes.
The both of us will be out there. I'll be chilling with the Electric Machete Presents the Lowrider Car Show at Soundset Festival. Nazim and Spencer are performing, which I'm excited about. And Zulu Zulu, Lauryn Hill, whose birthday is today.
That's so exciting.
We'll be there. There's so many different people. Who are you excited to see?
Lauryn Hill.
Really?
Zulu Zulu.
Yes.
Those are probably the ones
I'm
most
right?
excited.
Travis Scott? I mean,
I don't know.
That's the sound he made when he fell. He fell. I don't know if any of y'all seen that video a few months ago, but that's happening. And then speaking of Electric Machete, we're surrounded by this amazing artwork that is on display, and it is specifically drawn on weaving. The exhibit is called Four Directions, Interretro Art Exhibit, Weaving Traditions Together at Electric Machete. And it's on display until July 31st.
Yes.
And
you should come check it out. It's incredible.
Girl, I'm here surrounded by some pieces from Peru, from Guatemala.
Yeah, the thread work is phenomenal, y'all. Make sure to check it out.
Some amazing Dakota artists. Mm-hmm. There is some Taino indigenous work from some Boricuas up here in display. So I can go on and on. Check it out, though. Check it out, y'all. We're on 777 Smith Avenue. Cross over to the west side. Tweet at me. Tweet at us. At Latina Theory.
Of course.
Hit us up. LatinaTheory@gmail.com. We've got some exciting stuff coming up in our next episodes. We appreciate your patience.
Thank you. We love y'all.
We love y'all. Sin vergüenzas. #. Tweet us. Audio boom. Much love. We just want a positive, uplifting summer.
And we're here for y'all.
Okay, so let's get it in. And we are going to end this on a smooth, preciosa note with the one, the lovely Esperanza Spalding's Precious.
Estás escuchando Latina Theory, un podcast sin vergüenzas.
The way I fit some ideal, not the real woman you've yet to understand. See, love ain't no heaven, and I am no angel. Do the best I can. You always wanted something more from my body, and said you needed something more from my loving. But all you got was me, and that's all that I can be. I'm sorry if it let you down. Some kind of tame, flattering persona that soon enough was getting real low. It takes more than pressure to change rock to diamond. Now all you have is sand slipping through your fingers. You always wanted something more from my body, and said you needed something more from my loving. Precious divine energy, trying to explain and being ashamed of what you think is wrong with me. Divine energy, trying to explain and being ashamed of what you think is wrong with me.